Amen. All right, take your Bibles to Proverbs 17 and verse 9. We had a question this last week to look at Proverbs 17, 9 and to explain it. So we will attempt to do that this evening. Proverbs 17, 9, the Bible reads, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Proverbs and all the wisdom that is here for us, that you have given and that you preserved for us. We thank you, Lord, for giving Solomon the wisdom to gather understanding from all the matters of men that he saw in his life. Lord, thank you for preserving it that we might learn from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a fairly typical proverb. We have a two-part proverb, and there's a particular word for that, and I tried to remember and I tried to look it up and I cannot. And does anybody happen to remember what that is called when you have a proverb that you have the good side and the bad side? All right. Well, there is a word for that, and I was going to share that way if you ever heard the word, you know what they were talking about, but I can't remember, so you'll have to forgive me for that one. But you know most of the Proverbs are written this way. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. You have both sides of the coin, if you will. Excuse me. So to understand it, we need to look at both sides of the coin. What's it talking about? We'll look at the first part first, and then on to the second. I think each side of this can also be broken down in two parts or two two facets, if you will. So let's look at the first here. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love. I would say that the two parts in this first part, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. First of all, it's telling us that compassion is important. Compassion is important. And secondly, trust, when it is not deserved, is a powerful thing. And we'll look at those two ideas here. First of all, compassion, I believe, is the main idea in this first part. As it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. You see that the act of covering the transgression is for a purpose, is it not? It is seeking love. It is seeking a relationship with the one whose transgression is being covered. It is seeking a ground that something further might be built on. Excuse me. Now, we know this can be done wrongly as well. And just before we get into what we ought to do, let's just take a quick look at what we should not be doing in regards to this verse. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love. This does not mean that we should hide sin. All right? That is the wrong love. When, let's say, let's take something, you know, kind of big and obvious and fairly uncommon probably. You've got a friend who's a bank robber. All right? And he tells you, "Hey, we just pulled off a successful heist. I walked away with $2 million, and this is how it worked." Now, you're faced with a choice, right? You can stay his friend and not say anything, or you can turn them in, right? Now, under the law, you ought to be turning them in. And if they're caught, you can actually, by the law, you can actually be held as an accomplice because you knew something and you did not turn them in. The Bible also shares this idea with us. In 2 John 1:11, it says, you're not to bid them Godspeed when somebody is in the wrong. When they are in sin, you're not to bid them Godspeed because that makes you a partaker in their sin. In 1 Timothy 5:22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. So you're not a partaker in their sin. And Jude 1:23 says to save them out of the fire, but hating the garments that are spotted with the flesh. So again, that if you really like this person, but you know that they're in the wrong and they're doing wrong and they're not about to do what is right, don't just turn a blind eye to it because you want to be buddies with them. That's not what this verse... The verse does not condone that. It is talking about compassion. Now, you've got the friend who's a bank robber. Compassion would say, you need to turn yourself in. This is why it's wrong. Compassion is going to encourage that person to go and right the wrong that they have done. Excuse me. Let's look at some verses on compassion in regards to this verse. If you'll turn to James chapter 5 and verses 19 through 20, we find basically the New Testament parallel to Proverbs 17:9. It says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. This is the same covering of transgressions that is mentioned there in Proverbs. If one converts a sinner from the error of his way, and if you'll note here, if you read verse 20 all by itself, it does look like it's just regarding a lost person out in the world. But if you back up to verse 19, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. It's also including your brothers and sisters in Christ. If there is anyone that you know that is erring from the truth, that is caught up in sin, that is caught up in something that is detrimental to them and others, and you are able and you encourage them to leave that off and to do what is right, to repent and to turn from it, then the Bible says that you're covering a multitude of sins. You're bringing them away from that. And that, my friends, is true love. Because you see the direction they're going and you pull them away and say, hey, this is going to damage your life, or this is going to damage the lives of those around you. Come away. It is compassion that overrules. And if they will heed your warning and follow that direction, then you have laid the groundwork for real love and you have hidden a multitude of sins. They have been put aside and done away with. 1 Peter 4 verse 8. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, charity is more than just love, isn't it? It is a compassionate love. It is a love that is seeking the well-being of the object of love. It's not just you like them more than you like other people, but it is a compassionate love. It is one that you want to see that person safe and well and excelling. Excuse me. And so Peter tells the early church, charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Again, it's that compassionate love, looking at it saying, come out of that. Come to Christ. Come and see the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what Christian compassion really is, isn't it? It's just us reflecting the compassion of Jesus so that they might know Him more. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble breathing tonight. Also, if you will turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 through 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So here Paul to the Romans went an extra mile. He takes not just... the first couple of verses we looked are kind of that on the level of it's your friend or your Christian brother or sister. And you see them in a sin, you know where they're going, you know where that road leads, and you say, hey, stop doing that, stop going there, because this is the result. And your compassion reaches out to them. Romans 12 here goes a step further. When the wrong is against you, is what it's talking about. Recompense no man evil for evil. When that wrong is what's hurting you. Man, they've done something and it's tearing you up. It's tearing everything else up. And there's no way you can get something right with this person because they're at fault. Again, we need the compassion of Christ. But in a sense, in a greater way, because it's we who need to experience it before we can share. It says, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. Yeah, the transgression is against me, it's against you. And to restore that fellowship that once was there, we have to actively seek love, don't we? It doesn't just repair itself. You have to look for it. You have to find a way. And how do you seek love in that situation but with compassion? Also in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If for no other reason, we need to remember that God, for Christ's sake, forgave you and I. You know, it's easy to get our hackles raised, to get up, you know, in a fighting stance. Those words mean war, right? But we need to stop and remember, while we were at enmity, we were enemies with Christ, with God. Christ died for us, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Excuse me. Compassion is the vehicle, if you will, for seeking love and for putting away that transgression. The second facet in this first portion, I believe, is one of the verses that talks about trust when it is not deserved. Now, there's quite a few verses about this in principle. We don't have time to go over them all. There's no, at least not that I can find, there's not a verse that says you must extend trust to people who are not trustworthy. But the principle is there. And again, it is based in the compassion, the grace, and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based in the forgiveness that He's given to us, and we're to extend that forgiveness to others. You know, the fastest and most sure way to build trust between yourself and another person, and to build someone up to be trustworthy, is to extend them trust when they don't deserve it. Now, that's a hard thing to do because we might get hurt, right? Oh, I trusted you in this and you did that to me. How dare you? You see, just because we know that that might happen, every single one of us, we're prone to withhold trust until you've proven first that you're worth trusting. But is that what God did to us? Have you ever thought? Let me give you a quick quick little bit of meat to chew on. For 2018, who does God expect to give the gospel to the world? Anybody. This year, who does God expect to give the gospel to the lost? Us. So, have you ever stopped to think that means 2,000 years ago, God Himself extended trust to you that His gospel would continue another generation? Were you trustworthy with the greatest gift to mankind before you knew Christ? No. The Bible says clearly you were His enemy. That our human nature does what it can to defeat the cause of Christ, to defame His name, and to go our own way. And yet, God, in great mercy, He didn't send the angels to give His gospel to all people. He did not stay on the earth as the Jews wanted Him to. He gave us the commission to share His love with others, to share the gospel with others. This is one area where our pride so easily and so detrimentally gets in our own way, where we withhold our trust from others. Now, there are times when you cannot trust a person. I understand. People are people. We have a sin nature. But understanding the grace, the mercy, forgiveness and salvation of God, the biblical way is that we extend trust first and then we forgive if that trust is broken. It doesn't say you have to continue trusting them if they've proved themselves untrustworthy, but that we are to extend that. Again, there's a lot of scripture that can that supports this principle. We don't have time to go through it all, but it's a really interesting and very humbling study. And I believe that that facet is also this verse is part of that. Now the second half says, "He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." The two facets of this, obviously the first one is gossip. Gossip will get in there and destroy anything, won't it? "He that repeateth the matter separateth very friends." You let the stories grow and the stories spread, and you can blow anything up. The second facet would be not allowing someone to live past a point in their lives. And that's a much bigger part of it than we realize. So let's look at a few verses on these two facets. Proverbs 26:20. "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." You stop feeding the fire, and there's no fire, is there? You got to love how simple the Proverbs are sometimes. "He that repeateth the matter separateth very friends." You want to stop the problem? Don't repeat it. There's no wood, there's no fire. Proverbs 18, verse 8. "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." The words of a talebearer as wounds. Yeah. There's that childhood rhyme, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, and words will never hurt me." And that is so far from the truth. Words will hurt you far more than an avalanche. And the Bible says so. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. There's been people that have been completely destroyed, actually medically destroyed, because of words that were spoken to them. The wounds can be very real. And then chapter 16 and verse 8 of Proverbs says, "Better..." That is not the right verse. 28. "A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." A forward man. Somebody who doesn't think before they speak. Somebody who wants to put themselves out there always. And they don't care about tearing others down in order to look good themselves. A forward man soweth strife. Kids, there's a big problem with that kind of attitude. Tearing somebody else down so you look better. It says what you are doing is you're sowing strife. You're putting the seeds of a fight all over. When it talks about somebody who soweth, it's talking about... Now, in the old days, before they had tractors and air drills, you wanted to plant a field of wheat or corn or anything, that you had to plant a great big field. You walked through that field with a bag on your hip, and you reached in that bag and you grabbed a handful of seeds and you threw it. You went a few more steps and you grabbed a handful of seeds and you threw it. And wherever those landed, you hoped your wheat or corn or whatnot would grow. A forward man, somebody who lifts himself up at the expense of others, tearing others down, is being just like that, grabbing handfuls of anger and fighting and spreading it around. And they might not think they're looking for a fight, but they'll find they are. They'll find that's what's on their hands. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. Gossip is a dangerous thing. Repeating a matter, saying, "Hey, did you hear what so and so did? Hey, they're just such a bad person, and you hear what they did to me?" And pretty soon people start picking sides and things just go awry. The second facet there is not allowing someone to live past a point in their lives. I believe that is just as much a part of this verse as gossip. Excuse me. The Bible tells us that when God has forgiven a sin, it is what? It's gone. Any of you kids remember how far God takes our sins away? It says He cast it as far as what? As far as the east is from the west. Do any of the kids know how far away that is? How long, if you start going west, how long before you start going in that direction, how long before you'll all of a sudden be going east? Anybody know? You don't know?
You can't do it.
You can't do it. Exactly. Now, if you go north, eventually you'll be going south. If you go south, eventually you'll be going north. But God is very careful with His words. And He said, as far as the east is from the west, if you go west or east, you will never all of a sudden be going the other direction. Can't be done. And the Bible tells us that's how far God puts our sin away. If He forgives your sin, it's gone. We as humans aren't quite so forgiving, are we? A matter has been brought to our attention or brought against us, whichever way. It's been dealt with. But there's this breach in our trust of that person or that area forever, isn't there? We're not to do that. That goes right back to the trust that God shows us. We're to reflect that. We're not to hold that breach of trust and say basically, you can never live past this point because you were once this way. The fact is, if they got it right with God, they are not that way anymore. Yes, we are still in a human body with a human nature. We could fall again, but we are not that way anymore. Titus chapter 3, if you will. Titus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Has God's love and kindness appeared to you? Have you experienced, maybe you don't have the same issue that somebody else has and that you've taken up contention against. But stop and think. Has God's kindness and love through our Savior appeared to you? Have you seen how great it is in the areas of your fault? And we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means we're to be made like Him. Our lives are to continually change to be more and more like Jesus. Gossip won't help with that. Keeping somebody in this little box that they got in that box once, so they cannot get out for the rest of the time that I know them. That is not what God does to us. And we cannot do it to others. We're expressly commanded against that. One last verse, if you will, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. We need to think about that. You know, God desires for His children to be honorable. God desires for His children to be powerful Christians. God desires for us to have a free and full spiritual life. Here we have a very simple solution in this area that we're looking at tonight. It is an honor for man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. So we're given a choice. We know what God wants in our life. We know the way God looks at the way we respond to such a situation that's brought up. You will have issues with people because we're humans. You will run across somebody that just, it doesn't work, or an issue that just doesn't work, or somebody that you've been great friends with and then it all blows up. Every time we're faced with a simple choice before God, will I be honorable or will I be a meddling fool? It's a good verse to memorize, Proverbs 20, verse 6. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Please help us in all of our dealings, in all of our lives. Lord, especially these children as they grow up to walk before You in the midst of this world. Help them to learn to be compassionate as You are, to be gracious and merciful, kind and loving, and honorable before man and God. Help us to live in a way that glorifies Your name and none other. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.